Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, each and every week, he is bringing the awesome sauce. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. I'm a little tired.
Yeah, me too, man.
I feel like I was going to go with just have you talk at me for the whole show. I'll just see if I can muster up some sort of response. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
We'll see it's a thing that happens. It's right. A thing that happens. We just recorded, spoiler alert, we just recorded our Dual Screens podcast, which is going up on Thursday right before this. And it was supposed to be earlier in the night, but our guests were running a little bit late from their jobs. So, you know, we just started almost an hour late. So now it's further into the night. It's almost 11 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast, right here on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. But that, you know what? We're here, so we're going to do the thing, Andy. We're going to do the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a new show. We're going to bring on some video game news, and we're going to talk about it for your ears. And we're going to talk about video games past, present, and future, and talk about that for your ears. And this show posts in audio form every single Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including Podbean. And then the video version will go up on Tuesdays. Monday night, Tuesday morning, whatever, depending on when we record live. But... and that will go on youtube.com/dualscreenstv.
So we'll just say Tuesday. Keep it safe.
Yeah, we're going to say Tuesday. So please, 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 if you're watching on YouTube, please consider hitting that subscribe button, hitting that thumb up, and leaving a comment on any future guests that you want us to have on the show and all that fun stuff. If you want to support us on Patreon, please do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton, The Apprentice, Nestler, and FNH Paul. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. And remember, $1 gets you a bonus episode each and every month in which you vote the topic. And it gets you into our VIP Discord channel where you chat with us and each other all day and some VIP indie dev guests who may or may not answer you if you go in there and start talking. Okay, Andy.
Hi.
Let's just go full force into this show.
Dive in head first.
Let's just get balls deep into this thing.
Balls
deep. It is time for everyone's favorite future t-shirt, if Missed Enough could just design it.
You know, all how long has it been?
It's been at least 8 months.
Yeah, it has been.
It's time for adventures in gaming, 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 gaming. Andy, what you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of our last guest game. Not the one that just came on like an hour ago. Previous guest game. And that is a game called Good Pizza, Great Pizza.
Okay.
Steven, okay. Let me tell you, I was playing until 4 a.m. yesterday, which explains I'm a little tired today. That might be why it's going on. The lethargy, the tiredness. But it is so fun. It's so zen and addictive. So you're in a little pizza shop and you make pizzas. And that's it. You take orders. Now, the fun part is that the customer is speaking riddles in tongue sometimes.
Sure.
It's not always like, let me get a pepperoni with cheese and sausage. That's easy. But they'll say things like, give me a fruity pig or a salty sailor or a
sailor.
Or they'll say moo.
Sardines.
Which I thought moo was cow. So I just put ham on the pizza and they're like, This is that mushroom. I was like, what the fuck mushroom? Moo is actually in it's mushroom, onion, olive. I had no idea what that was.
Interesting.
So after a while, we've been playing with your shop for a bit, this like Yelp reviewer company comes into play. And they start to take your customer ranking into effect, and if you have a bad day, you get shut down completely.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh god. The fail state is harsh.
Yes. And but I did drive my competitor out of the business.
Hell yeah. That's capitalism right there.
Yeah. I was feeding hobos, and they ended up giving the pizza to bears, and then the bears ransack his shop, and then that hobo becomes a bear trainer. And a faithful,
that's
loyal
some storyline.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I slayed some spiders this weekend.
Ooh.
I played Kill It With Fire.
Ooh.
And it is simultaneously the funniest thing mm-hmm. that I played mm-hmm. in a long time, mm-hmm. and also the most terrifying thing I played.
So is it just killing spiders? Specifically? So
it's
exclusively?
Spiders are the thing that you're consistently killing. Mm-hmm. There are different types of spiders. Mm. But the interesting thing is that the spiders are hidden in the room, and you have a spider meter, which you kind of hold up and you try and find where they're hiding. Uh-huh. So like it'll be beeping real. It'll have, you know, full bars right in front of a book.
Oh, a speedometer.
Sure. So
kill me with fire.
you have the bookshelf in front of you, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's beeping. And so you know it's there.
Right.
So you start one by one pulling books off the shelf. And then when you pull a book off the shelf, you rotate it around. Right? And sometimes the spider is on the book. So when you're rotating it, it's boom, it's right in your face. And then you chuck the book and then it runs around. And then so far I'm three levels in.
Huh?
And you don't actually get hurt by the spiders. It's all about how quickly you can find all of them and
just
how many
like
side,
in real life, they can't
side objects you can, or objectives that you can tick down. Like one would be, oh, smash all of the family pictures, or another would be find or unlock the safe or whatever. And like all the doors in the house are predicated on how many spiders you kill. So like they'll have a number on the door. 5. Okay. I need to kill 5 spiders before I could go in this room. You get weapons like your clipboard is like the main melee weapon, but anything in the house could be a weapon. You could chuck a lamp at it.
It seems like
books.
Like a modern day Mr. Mosquito.
Sure. you could get a hairspray and a lighter, and that's where you can just start lighting things on fire.
Why? You have such weapons to kill spiders.
Yeah.
Are they like mutation? Are they monstrous? Do they have like more than 8 legs?
Simple spiders, tiny little spiders, and
any recluse brown spiders or tarantulas?
So here's the spiders I've gotten. You get your simple black spiders, right?
Okay.
They kind of look like the size of tarantulas, but they behave like regular normal little spiders. Mm. Then there's white spiderlings. They are smaller, and there's typically multiples of them. Mm-hmm. And they're very fast. Then there are these bigger red and black spiders that when you, and they take 3 hits, and when you kill them, they explode into baby spiders.
That is just the stuff of nightmares.
So not only do you get this flamethrower weapon, you wind up getting a revolver
mm-hmm.
to shoot the spider.
Wait.
And then a 12-gauge shotgun.
Is it like a property damage meter? As you're going.
As a matter of fact, some of them say burn, you know, one of your objectives would be like burn 40 objects. So you're like, okay, just burning the whole place down.
This
the fire eventually goes away.
In? Okay.
I have no idea. one of the family pictures looked like what's his name? Peter Quill. Fuck is his name?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, yeah.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, this is Chris Pratt's house. But yeah, so you're unlocking more items that you can go and you know kill spiders with. But like right now, there's mystery. So you know Hello Neighbor, right?
Right. Is there an actual story here in this game?
So there's a weird thing that happens in every level. Like, oh, there's a secret room, and the secret room has a safe, and inside the safe, you know, there's stacks of cash, and then on the bottom there's like classified files, and like mm-hmm. there's like mysterious music, and like you might be unfolding a more devious plot, maybe not has nothing to do with spiders,
right?
That's just what I'm getting.
They're just part
like,
of the mystery. They're just there, yeah. The spider. It's like there's a whole thing going on plus spiders.
Andy, I killed 46 spiders in the second level.
It's a lot.
There were so many spiders, and the best is when you uncover one and they see you and they're like, and they run away. Like, it's exactly like real life.
Right.
They, like, it'll go in, like, you have shit all over the floor because you've been chucking books and pillows everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll go in another room and you're like, where did it go?
Now,
and you're like, slamming doors.
Are you the type to leave a spider alone in your house when you see one?
I put it outside usually.
Hmm. See,
I will leave it alone if it's not in a place where I sleep.
Right. So they're always by my window still hanging out. I let them chill. Because I find like some dead bug remnants. I'm like, see, that's my guy did that. He did that shit for me.
That's the one. That's that's the one
you can stay. You've earned your keep.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. It's shit. it's fun. Like that's the part that like I jumped several times because there are times like, oh, I'm gonna go to the bathroom and I lift the toilet and it's on the lid. Like a big black spider just like sitting there and you're like, ah, shit. There was the one time that I told you I was spinning it an item and it was just standing right there and I was like, oh, and I chucked the item across the room. It was just a lot of fun. I had a blast with it. Again, that was burn it with kill it with fire. And I beat my first boss in Mortal Shell.
I did see that
on Wednesday.
Doesn't it feel so satisfying?
It does.
It's you know, those kind of games, those Dark Souls, Bloodborne type of games.
Bloodborne was the only one I've played a lot of. And I played Demon Souls. I did not play any Dark Souls game.
Dude, you know that Demon Souls remake, we're gonna get on that shit day one.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that. But I also want to play that the one that was just free on Epic, the shooter one.
Oh yes.
Shoot, I forget the name. The chat will let us know.
Revenant something or other.
Yeah.
Remnant. Yes.
From the Ashes.
Yes. Is that still free on the Epic Games Store?
I think it might be done now. Okay. Or the 30th might be the last day. I don't know. Maybe check and see if you
can. At the end of the month, one more day.
No, it is the end of the month, Andy. We're here.
Well, tomorrow. As of this publishing, it'll be the end of the month.
But yes, it, so everybody keeps telling me it's a short game, which I'm excited for because maybe I'll actually be able to finish. I'm only playing it once a week. I'm playing it on Wednesdays on twitch.tv/batchild. And, you know, this is a small team. I think it's only 13 people made this game. It's got a great atmosphere, man. Like it's just got a really, really great atmosphere. The combat feels really tight. It doesn't feel cheap, which is important in a game like this. It doesn't feel like it's just hard by being cheap. Mm-hmm. You know that you are better than the thing you're fighting. You know it. You're like, right. I know what you're doing. I know how to beat you. I just can't fucking get off of the schneid. I just can't, you know, I'm making this one mistake every time. Mm-hmm. You know, patience is not one of the things. I like fast-paced arcade hack and slash games like that. I like combo-based games. I like your Devil May Cries or, you know, your God of War. I like stuff a little bit more.
As long as you keep the rating system out of it, right?
Yes, as I don't want to be judged. Correct. So getting used to that is harder for me than I think most veterans of the genre. Like, when you see people play it, like Sekiro, I feel like I would be terrible at because Sekiro is fast, but you still need to be deliberate and slow, if that makes sense.
Well, I would say at least coming off of Ghosts, you're a little bit more patient with your hacky slashy maneuvers. Right.
That's good. So Ghost is, I haven't played Ghost in a couple of weeks now. I got to get back to it. Ghost is very, it's very deliberate, but you are a samurai and I get into that mode. Like, I'm not playing as the ghost. I don't even level up some of that stuff. I get the items, whatever you have to get, but I'm not, like, actively sneaking and stabbing people from behind. I'll do, like, one or two, but I mostly get in there like a brave samurai and take everybody out one by one. I call them out, and I just... So it's more reactionary and just kind of like, okay, boom, boom, boom. Right. It's very deliberate.
Right.
So like that one is a little bit easier. It's kind of, I feel like it's more of like a middle ground. Bloodborne was a little bit more arcadey as well. The bosses were so big that it was really just about you getting out of the way and then getting as many hits into it for a lot of them.
Yeah. As long as you're not guilty with it. I mean, greedy with it, I should say.
Yeah. And that is still strong in Mortal Shell. Like the I could get one more hit in here, but if I do that, the animation's a little too long and he's gonna turn around and hit me. Like it's still prevalent
and then that's how you die.
One of the things I didn't like about this boss fight was the entire game leading up to the boss fight, right? Now the boss fight was right there. It's like you can do it whenever you really want. And I was like, oh shit, that's a named boss. I'm gonna do that later when I have more stuff. the whole game, they teach you, turn to stone, become impervious. Mm-hmm. Turn to stone, become mm-hmm. impervious. When mm-hmm. the shit is hitting the fan, you think you're going to get hit, mm-hmm. turn to stone, you'll deflect it, right? There, the boss has one attack that goes through stone. He doesn't scream, he doesn't holler, he doesn't do any tell. It's one of the quicker maneuvers that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get hit, it like pierces you, and then he picks you up and then like bites your head and like move you around, whatever. It's basically an unblockable attack, but they teach you the whole time that there's no such thing as an unblockable attack until you fight the boss. So I thought that was kind of shitty. But once I realized it, and I was like, okay, I know he's going to do this attack after he does this attack most of the time. And then I was able to kind of, you know, bide my time and eventually beat him. It took me almost 2 hours to beat him, a lot of trial and error. But once I got into my rhythm, I was fine.
That's the game telling you not to fall back on that mechanic too much, because
mm-hmm.
we'll take it away. Right. This light, exactly. With no notice whatsoever.
I'm also not using the mechanic, I don't think, as it's intended. Like they say to like, oh, like do an attack and then do it, because then you become basically a stone spear, you know? Mm-hmm. So like there's ways, like maybe if an enemy's charging you, you could swing and then stone, and maybe you'll do more. Like I just have to experiment with it a little bit more.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes. Before we get into the indie news update, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for everyone's favorite segment, A Minute of Apex with Steve.
Kill me with fire.
I figured out
tell me
why I am not as good at the game as I want to be, Andy.
Oh, as after you want year, to be?
Yes.
Are you holding yourself back?
I play almost exclusively with our homeboy Mikey Kirsch, as you know.
Yes.
And typically anybody else we play with is on Mikey Kirsch's level or higher.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they do competitive play or matchmaking is I get pulled into the higher level games. Most of the time I am playing against much better players. That means that I have a very small window of error. Whereas if I was playing with guys more on my level, I would be able to slowly, incrementally actually expand that skill set with against people that are more my level. So this week I've made a conscious effort to play more with players on my level, and that is A Minute of Apex.
Who'd have thought?
Andy, what do you got in the indie news update?
Steven, a Kickstarter that I was following for a while and I backed was fully funded. And has now become the third best-selling video game Kickstarter ever, with a whopping $4.5 million raised. Ayuden Chronicle.
Ayuden.
100 Heroes. This is it. It's only surpassed by Shenmue 3 and Bloodstained. Ritual of the Night.
Almost $5 million, right?
$4.5 million. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's kind of nuts. And
that's crazy.
I need this game like as soon as possible. I think it's out in 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, that'll. Who knows? Yeah, you'll have grandkids. You'll have grandkids.
No, it's the Himalayan whistle children, and then they have kids. You have to get it right.
Whistle children. Andy, let's get into the dual screens report. Of course, this is where Andy and I cherry pick some news. This was a very heavy. A lot of PlayStation, PlayStation was nowhere to be found for Gamescom. Gamescom kind of came and went. There was no big thing that happened at Gamescom. So I kind of just didn't pay attention to it. I paid attention to the pre-show thing, the opening night. It really wasn't exciting for me. So before we get into the news itself, what did you think of Gamescom?
Well, I don't think Gamescom, it's, you know, when you follow E3, first of all, it's a tough act to follow, because that's where a lot of the eyes go in the industry is E3. Right. For your big reveals and announcements and, you know, your shockers and your headline grabbers. Mm-hmm. Now, E3 was gone this year. It faded away. It never happened. And I didn't expect much from Gamescom this year anyway. You know, you see a few things here, but nothing is really going to be like the big thing, because no one's really watching Gamescom. I think hardcore gamers will watch it, and you know, online, but I feel like most of us are like, it's a thing. I'll follow up on IGN later or read up on a Reddit forum. you know, in the afternoon. But yeah, it was okay. I mean, there was some fun stuff. We got a nice look at Ratchet and Clank for a little bit longer. We got some stuff here and there, but
it's fine.
It was okay.
What I felt like it was after opening night, I felt like it was the, oh, also these games.
That's like how that, it's always felt it, like.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, folks, that was fun. It was a fun event. If you liked it, we're not poo-pooing it. It didn't light my world on fire.
One complaint yes. about that event. It was when I got the, when Jeff Keighley said we're going to get, what was it? That Spell Mage game? Spell something? That like Spell online?
No.
Yes.
No. It was,
Spell something?
Spellbreak?
Spellbreak, yeah. He was like, it's out tonight.
The Battle Royale?
He was like, it's out today. I was like, no, it's not. It's out next week, you asshole.
You jerk. I think it was out for the people who pre-purchased it. I think that's what happened. But yeah, I want to play that game. That game's dope. All right, Andy. So Gamescom maybe didn't have much PlayStation-related news, but PlayStation news did kind of take over a little bit here. So hit us up with this first story here, a little under the hood of PS5.
Right. So PS5, this comes from PSU.com, looks set to support Wi-Fi 6 and Bluetooth 5.1. Ooh. Very.
I don't think you understand how important Wi-Fi 6
is. Yes. This is, I think, in one word, your future proofing the PS5. So this news comes from, it comes via an Anatel document approving the wireless module that's set to be featured in the PS5, confirming both Wi-Fi 6 and Bluetooth 5.1 support. Yes, let this happen. So again, it's you're getting ready for what the future is. And for all of us with shitty connections and who have a higher speed access, this is a great thing.
Made me nervous that they were going to skimp out on some of that type connectivity.
With the Wi-Fi cards and the Bluetooth support?
Because they did on PS4. They really did.
Right.
The Wi-Fi card on PS4 is trash. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Bluetooth is fine. I mean, Bluetooth.
It gets the job done, yeah.
Yeah. But it's probably the standard, I would imagine. I would imagine both Xbox and PlayStation are both going to be supporting this. But like, infamously, the Switch... It's a handheld device. Horrendous Wi-Fi card. Probably one of the worst of any console. Well, listen,
if you're gonna
whatever
have,
that I've ever
if
seen.
You're gonna have a convoluted friend system to begin with, then you discourage that by having a crappy Wi-Fi card. So the whole mantra there is like shitty online infrastructure all around for Nintendo.
Yeah, I could be sitting on top of the router and it wouldn't have full bars. It's insanity. All right, so we also got a little bit from IGN that posted an image of like all the consoles kind of smashed together, including the Xbox Series X, which looks to be about 3 GameCubes stacked on top of each other in size. That appears to be what this is. They have this image, this really cool image. It's exactly as wide as a GameCube. So if you have your GameCube, stack 3 of them on top, or imagine 3 of them on top of each other. I don't know if you have 3 GameCubes. I actually had 2, but I sold one.
What color were they?
Purple. Actually, I had 3.
Purple and silver? I had purple and silver.
The purple and silver, yeah. I don't know which one I still have. I don't know which one I sold.
This is a headline. Why can you explain this to me?
Well, because there's so many people were speculating that it was larger than it was. Uh-huh. So people that saw it in person did say that the original rendering based off of the disk drive was not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you know the measurements, and then they got the official measurements, right?
Right.
And you're like, okay, we have official measurements. What is that? But like putting it next to the actual consoles themselves, like one of the images, the image here has the Xbox One. The Xbox One appears to be actually taller vertically.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
Same thing with what's next to it. I can't tell what's next to that. Is that a?
Have we done this before? Like, have we done like the Xbox One is as thick as your microwave.
Well, it was always like a, you know, ha ha ha, look at this, it's so big. But then it's like, okay, but is it really? I mean, is it really going to be obtrusive? Like, how big is it going to be? And then when PlayStation did theirs, people were taking the disk drive of the Series X and saying, okay, if they're equal, then the PlayStation 5 is the size of the fucking moon. So, you know, this at least makes it seem like, okay, PS5 is probably not going to be much taller than the PS4 Pro. Because the PS4 Pro right next to the Series X is the same height. Yeah. It's really the width that's... I mean, it's an obelisk. That's what it looks like. I mean, I don't care. Like, we have said that if we ever had a reason to get the Series X, we like its design.
Oh, for sure. I love the whole, like, PC tower look that's going on. Yeah,
it's cool. It's cool. It's a cool design.
Yeah. It's very minimalist. It's not, like, loud in any way. Simple, effective.
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
You kind of just hide in a corner. But yeah, three GameCubes, that's not tiny.
Yeah.
It's a PC, essentially. It's a, you know, a half a PC tower. That's really what it is. So yeah, we'll see. When we get an actual measurements of the PS5, where we can actually see people, you know, look at it in person. PlayStation is not a stranger to making big consoles. Like, no. The PS3,
I mean, the PS3 alone, yeah.
Grill, holy fuck.
That thing was like, it demanded your attention in your household. Look at me. don't ignore me. That was the worst. The game of your fingerprints on that shit. I was like, it's all why?
The PS3.
Do you ever like wonder where those scuff marks came from?
Just like looking at it,
like
scuff
mark. I would like wipe it down, like dust it. Like, where are these scratch marks coming from? I never touch you ever. You sit in one place the whole day. You're just there. Yeah.
Why are you scratching? I used to rest my controllers on top of it.
It's those spiders. Oh, that's why you get scratches, dude. That was what you were doing.
Yeah. But
would they slide off?
Yeah. Yes, they would.
Genius.
Yes, they would, Andy. None of my USB ports on my PlayStation work. My PlayStation 3. They all broke. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I think there's one on the back that works. But Andy, this next thing is weird.
This is weird, but it's kind of it's a little bit good weird.
Okay.
It's interesting. I find it good weird. So Sony is offering the chance for people to win a slot to pre-order the PS5. So aside from the usual, your Best Buys, your Walmarts, your Targets, your GameStops, all of your gaming retailers nationwide, you can sign up for a chance to win a slot through Sony using your PSN ID, one per customer, one per PSN ID, to get a chance to guarantee you a pre-order for the PS5. Now, for me, this thing is nice because it's an extra chance to maybe secure a spot for yourself, which I think I'm not going to get it. I never get these things. But if it's there, what's the harm? It takes like 2 seconds to sign up for this thing. ID, confirm, and you're done. And that's it. I mean, what's the harm? Seriously.
You said something that I think is a misunderstanding here.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe that this is the only place pre-orders are going to be happening.
Oh, no. That's what I said. You'll have your Walmart, your GameStop. This is just...
Oh, I thought you said you won't have. Okay.
Oh, no. This is like an extra, like...
This is a...
You can fight it.
No, you're guaranteed. You don't have to wait online.
You can fight it out in all the other storefronts. But if you give us your PSN ID now, we'll put it through a raffle. And if you win a slot, the pre-order is yours, guaranteed.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I don't know. What's going to suck is that when they're fulfilling these, you know you're not getting it on time. When you when you order directly from PlayStation on anything, you never get that shit on time. Always a midnight release guy. Like, I'm always the night of lineup. Get, you know, if it was GameStop, I used to pre-order at GameStop. I would be like number 10 for the pre-order like a month in advance. And then you show up with your little pre-order receipt. Mm-hmm. But when we did the Switch, me and Buzz Killington, they just lined people up outside. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how many they had. They had to like actually count them and say, okay, we have whatever it was 142.
Right.
So only we're only counting up to 142. You're each going to get a you're all going to get a flyer that says that you, you know, won, that you can come in and buy one. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that again.
Right, especially what's going on in the world now. I want to get out there in a line.
Yeah. This is going to be hell on earth. It's going to be there's going to be like
I'm getting a little
as much as the Switch was a success, feeling
thinking about it to be honest.
The next gen consoles are going to be crazy. Dude, crazy busy.
The momentum that's in Sony's favor especially among the two is enormous worldwide. And people will go crazy for this thing. Now, for me, it's gonna weigh heavily on what the launch lineup looks like for this system. Like, I'm fine ordering it on Amazon if I can and pre-order it there and wait for like the next day or the week after or the few days after. I'm okay with that. As long as I have the thing, it's coming to my house, and I'm not going on eBay and paying like mine and Ken's kidneys to pay for the thing. But this I like. It's a nice way to say, listen, there's a huge demand. The world's crazy. We're going to go the extra mile to make sure that a few more of you can get the system at least worry-free before the actual pre-order stuff.
You know what I wonder? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They said they're going to have 10 million for launch.
First fiscal year, right? That was their target?
No, I think it was through holiday.
Okay. It's a lot.
It is, but how many
are going to go?
How many is PlayStation going to be selling directly?
We don't know.
Because if they sell a million, that's 10% of the amount out there. Like that's a big number.
And how big are those who have a PSN ID, unique PSN IDs that are active? It's millions of people.
Well, we know most people, this shit went in their spam. Like the most users aren't checking IGN for this article that said or PlayStation the blog, like most people aren't paying attention to that. Like
maybe those
the hardcore fucking nerds
that have like the PSN Plus. Maybe those.
I would say 15 million people probably signed up for this thing. That would be my guess out of like the 130 or whatever.
Again, I'm not gonna knock it.
Yeah, I mean I hope I get it. Oh my god, that would make my life so much easier.
Yeah, see, that's making it easier. That's why I'm here for this, because it's like, okay, cool. It's there. Awesome. Take my money. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Whatever it costs.
Speaking of taking money, Sony wants to bring more first party games to PC.
Ooh, I'm glad this is on the list, because I was reading some tweets about this earlier today. Mm-hmm. And this is how headlines can be weird and not accurate. But go on. I'll let you say it.
Sony has said, and this is coming from PC Gamer. Sony has said in a 2020 corporate report that it plans to bring more first-party games to the PC in the future. Quote, we will explore expanding our first-party titles to the PC platform, says the report, in order to promote further growth in our profitability. The decision to bring more of the Sony in-house catalog to PC is cited as a key strategic point to the coming direction of the game and network services division. The reason for the change is partially given in the report. Quote, competition from online PC games and players from other industries is expected to continue to intensify. In short, Sony wants to bring games to PC because that's where a certain segment of the game buying audience already is, and presumably because Sony thinks they'll stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So they essentially think that PC that there's a large enough PC audience that will never buy a console,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to lose out on that that sweet sweet pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, Andy?
Well, again, just to be clear, it isn't so much about them wanting to bring or saying we're going to bring. It's we're exploring the idea of maybe doing more of this in the future. Now, I want to see what the numbers were for Horizon Zero Dawn and Death Stranding, first and foremost, PC sales. I know there are bestsellers for, but I didn't get the exact number in sales for those two games.
I think Horizon was like 2 million.
Right. Which is nice, given it's a, what, 5-year-old game at this point? It's up there in age, I feel. What I think people shouldn't expect, though, is a day one release of PS5 exclusive games and PC. That's not going to happen. What I do see is, let's say, God of War coming out on PC prior to the next one on PS5 coming out. That's a good strategy. Or maybe Spider-Man, even though Insomniac's like, that's never going to go anywhere but PlayStation systems. But again, you know, if you want to expand your player base and get more sales on games that are like 5-6 years old, I'm all for it. I'm totally for that. Sony knows that their strength lies in their first-party games. And in this report, they mentioned acquiring more studios as well as part of their plan and the importance of exclusive games for them in the future and bolstering the PS Studios brand for them. So I want to see this being as a day one release on PS5 and PC for games going forward. But I do see this as, okay, it's been 4 years, 5 years since this game. Let's put it on PC. Oh, wait, Bloodborne Remastered PC. Cool.
I don't see how when you're touting the PS5 being so unique in its architecture, as far as like the hard drive and like it, PCs aren't going to be able to do that.
Right.
So do you want to put an inferior product on PC just because you don't want to lose out on the audience? Or what they're trying to really say is the legacy titles, the Uncharted collections of the Last of Us Part 1 and 2,
Until Dawn, stuff like that.
Are they gonna explore doing that? I mean, Sony was synonymous with Tomb Raider, right? But Tomb Raider was not exclusive to Sony, to PlayStation. Tomb Raider was on PC, and a lot of players only knew it from PC. But most PlayStation gamers only knew it as a PlayStation game.
Right.
I wonder if they're going to try and do something along the lines of that, where it's like, yeah, these are not necessarily PlayStation games. They are going to be designed specifically to be in other places, but then there's also your PS5 exclusives.
Well, see, that's my thing. I feel like Dreams, right? If you're gonna do this, putting more of your first party games, like maybe Last of Us, the first one, on PC, be mindful of how you're porting the game over, because Horizon was a bit of a mess when it launched on Steam as a port.
Yeah, it was.
It was a hot mess. As opposed to Death Stranding, that was handled in-house by Kojima Productions, was even better than the PS4 version.
Right.
So if you're going to go this route and release your old stuff or legacy games on PC or some things in the future, just be very mindful of how you handle that port, because you got to make it at least worthwhile for those who are waiting for this game for a PC release. That's all I have to say about that.
What would you say to the people screaming about, you know, exclusivity? Well,
don't take my these are my games. Yeah, yeah. They belong. Shut up. It's a business.
I'm not comfortable with, you know, I'm in a position of slight privilege where I do have a PC that could probably run some of these games in the future.
Steven,
so
listen,
I'm spending the next gen money,
this might sound like a privilege if you want to put it that way, but I've never had like a console war mentality because I've owned all the things. Because if I want to buy a thing, I would just save and go and buy it. Okay. Like my first Xbox, I owned it like way later because I saw Halo 2 and it looked fun. So I bought Halo 2 and an Xbox, like as a package deal. So the idea of games leaving a certain platform to go like more multi-platform, it puts more money in developers' pockets, in Sony's pockets. So you can make more games, better games for all of us.
Right.
You only get this from folks who can only afford, and said, to buy that one piece of plastic that you must defend to the death because you've bought it. And if things that are leaving it make it less enticing, are you the fool now?
Right.
It's that's what it looks like. Exactly.
Right.
That's what it's always been for a lot of these people. For me, I couldn't give two shits about who goes where, what goes where. I'm buying a PS5. They've locked in my sale. I will buy all those games I love on PS5. If it's on PC, great. I'm not going to buy it there.
Right. You know, for me, it's like there's an ingrained pride of of I'm proud of my purchase decision.
Right. Like,
I chose this route because typically I can't go multiple routes on this thing.
Right.
Like, I'm at a point now that eventually I can. Like, I could say, all right, I want to spend $200-$300. I want to get an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. I could do that. I don't have to. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you do drop $500, $600 mm-hmm. and you're all in that ecosystem, and then you see that, you know, the others are also getting a piece of that pie. Mm. You're just like, ah, damn.
It's like, I wish
that was just for me.
Yeah. Right. Well, listen, again, it's not going to be everything going to PC. It's like, if you want to select a few things that are in your backlog that have been, you know, put out, not the pasture, just, you know, kind of like sidelined.
Give it a second life.
Like, yeah, because it's been, like, again, with Horizon, it's been 5-6 years since it came out. Mm-hmm. And then you get, what, a few million sales? What's the harm in that?
All right, let's move on to the next story here. This one is about more Switch Pro rumors, Andy.
Oh, no.
Take us down the rabbit hole, my friend.
This again. Mm-hmm. Kotaku is reporting that Nintendo's releasing an upgraded Switch model in 2021. I just feel like it just has to happen now just so we can stop getting these goddamn articles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tired of it. All right. So back in March, yada, yada. So again, this is quoting a Bloomberg report that they're still on track to release a new updated Switch in 2021. Mm-hmm. All right. The Kyoto-based company has looked into including more computing power and 4K high-def graphics. Here's the thing, Steven. Mm-hmm. I'm all for 4K graphics on my PS5, on my Xbox, on my PC. Love it. What do you think a portable 4K system, capable system, is going to cost us?
I mean, it would probably be as much as a cell phone.
Right.
So I was reading a few different takes on this thing, and one person who has kind of like not like insider knowledge, but like is very, very tech heavy with their information. Mm-hmm. Kind of like our friends at Door to Door Geek. This guy said that essentially what this is more likely to mean is that if they put the board, a like motherboard upgrade that can handle 4K graphics, then if they push something at 1080 in handheld at 60 frames, it won't melt. He's like, that's really what they're doing. They want to give you the capability to run 4K so that you could run 1080 in handheld and not melt your system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily that they're going to put 4K display on the system, but it's more like if they support it, then running higher fidelity graphics, like even if it's a checkerboarded 4K, it won't necessarily, you know, melt your battery or melt your heart, you know, melt your chipset.
Do you think
because it takes a lot of power? And
right. Do you think we'll get an actual beefier Switch dock that's not just a hunk of plastic that's basically an empty shell?
I've always thought that this type of situation was for a iteration based design. Like, I felt like you could iterate and bits and pieces.
Right. I think all of us thought when the Switch came out, like, it was like the next iPad, like, okay, we'll get one like every year, maybe, like incremental.
I thought it was just going to be the display. I didn't think the Joy-Con. I thought it was like, okay, buy your new Switch tablet.
Get rid of the bezel.
I wouldn't mind if that thing was a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. It's a great size, but I would not mind if it was a little bit bigger. Yeah, but if the bezel was gone, you wouldn't have to worry about
that. I just question the necessity for this thing if it's real. The Switch has no problem selling systems like hotcakes, even with, you're basically, you're skating by an Animal Crossing alone this year. You have other things too in the pipeline. I get it. Pokemon DLC, you have Paper Mario. Yeah, it's things. It's not like a totally empty slate.
I just think they don't
want to
be the old. I think that PS5 and Xbox Series X come out, they don't want to be the old.
Do their audience care about being the old, though?
They did for the Wii
U. But the Wii U wasn't as alluring as the Switch was. The Wii U tried to chase that high-end graphic dragon. Like, we want to get, we'll get your Arkham games here, we'll get your Darksiders games here. No one was buying the Wii U for ports of games on the PS or the Xbox 360. No one was doing that.
But they were coming, they were literally coming off of the best-selling console in a long time.
Which, again,
fell flat on their face.
Right, because they sold a gimmick to your grandma in the nursing home.
The Wii U or the Wii?
The Wii.
Okay, but the Wii U still looked like trash compared to PS4 and Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
So they were old before they even got out the door.
Right, but they're always...
They want to be that again.
Right, but they're always going to be behind in the power game, though, in the resolution game.
But they could be... They can lower the gap. They can lessen the gap a little bit.
If you want to shrink that,
oh no, this you know, these are high. This is high definition graphics in your palm of your hand.
If you want to, if they can find a way to make it better at the same price as the original Switch, do it. $300 for $400, $300, right? Yeah, $300.
Yeah,
yeah, go for it. If you can sneak in some stuff, some trickery to make it better. Sleeker, more high res, better battery life. If you've learned things over the last like 3-4 years,
new Joy-Con Christ's sake.
Of course, I'm for that. I'm just saying, what's it going to cost us? What would a 4K Switch cost us?
$300.
Hey, if it costs that, then I'll fucking buy one.
It's not going to be 4K. I'm telling you right now.
No, I'm saying 4K docked. If it's 4K docked,
it won't be.
What would that cost us? 4K docked.
Maybe they do a $299 thing without the dock. It's 1080 in your hand, and if you use your old
Switch
dock
Lite
and
Pro,
it's 1080,
is it dock compatible?
Yes, it will be dock compatible. You just throw it in the old dock, and it just does your 1080 image on the TV. But if you buy the new dock for $100 extra, you can upscale your 1080 to,
you know, I think
4K.
The dock alone now costs like $100.
Exactly, and that's all you
need.
Which is
it's just an empty shell. And an HDMI port. That's all it is.
It has a little magic happening in there. There's a little bit of magic.
It's got no magic. I don't see the point of this. Like, I get it. People will buy it.
What of you, Andy? How about
that's my mom tells me every day.
All right. The final news story here. Yes, we do know that there was a Nintendo Mini Direct. There was nothing that really excited us, and it was 8 minutes. So, yeah. Our final story here is a little bit of... it sent the internet in a tizzy. Marvel's Avengers has paid Battle Pass for every superhero at launch, which is a misleading title, and I will get to that in a moment. So, essentially what's happening here is each character has their own Battle Pass. If you don't know what a Battle Pass is, it's something that you buy so that you can earn exclusive items as you are leveling up that character.
Exclusive.
World premiere.
Fortnite has it, Apex has it, but typically what you do is it is one battle pass that gives you unlocks for generic characters or characters spread about. Like in Apex Legends, you'll get, oh, it's a skin for this character and then a skin for that character and then, you know, other bullshit. Some stuff sucks. Like some of the stuff that you unlock is just garbage. The way they're doing it is you can unlock a battle pass for Iron Man, and you'll get only Iron Man related materials. Each one of these is $10. However, the base six characters already have their battle pass. You are not buying a battle pass for your six OG characters. At least that is what I am being told. Okay? Now, as you're playing the base game, you will earn enough credits. When you unlock one, I think it's one single hero card. If you go through and you max out one character, you actually get enough in-game credits to unlock another character's thing. Hawkeye, which is a add-on character later down the road, is a free character, but you have to buy his battle pass to get his fancy shit.
You just put the words buying and free in the same sentence.
Exactly. So they said all DLC is going to be free. That is true. Your characters are free. Your missions and all that stuff are free. However, if you want to unlock all of Hawkeye's crazy stuff, it is 1,000 credits to unlock his card.
Now,
which you should probably have earned anyway.
I have a question.
While playing.
I was going to ask you that next question. Can I earn this shit via the game, or is it only via a battle pass? I can earn this. I can buy this shit.
If you just play the base game, you will earn enough credits. And here's the thing. Where each character, I believe, when you max one character's battle pass, you have enough credits to get the next one, to get somebody else's. Since you have six already to begin with, that's six chances, I think, to max out and get enough credits to get six other battle passes, I think. We have to see what this looks like at launch. But here's a little quote here, if this makes sense. As part of the new blog post for the game's official website, it is stated that the six superheroes arriving in the base game will all have their hero challenge cards unlocked straight away. That's the battle pass. Starting with Hawkeye, you'll then need to purchase these cards separately for 1,000 credits. This currency can only be obtained through unlocks on other battle passes or with real-world money. $5 gets you 500 credits, so that means a single hero card is $10.
Okay.
To be clear, the character itself and the story, gameplay mechanics, and all locations associated will be free of charge. But if you want to customize that superhero with unlocks and decals, you will need to start splashing in cash.
So again, you can't earn any kind of in-game money to get these things without paying cash.
Yes. 40 levels of a battle pass nets you enough credits to buy the next battle pass. So basically what this is, hey, you can spend the money if you don't want to grind. And like if we, like Spider-Man. Okay, Spider-Man's here. You want to unlock all this cool shit? You didn't grind a battle pass out yet? Give us $10.
This is why Mortal Kombat 11 had this shit. Street Fighter 5 has this shit. It's like you have all these cool skins and stuff, but you have to play for until you're dead, basically, to unlock everything.
Right.
It sort of makes you want to pay just to avoid grinding till the end of time, more or less. And I hate this practice so much.
Now, here's the thing, Andy. If the grinding was fun and not broken and didn't look like shit and run like shit and be
boring, that's the issue. That it's an uphill battle for this game already as it is, dude.
I really hope all of those pre-launch issues are hammered out and the game comes out great.
Do you remember the days when you would beat a game and you unlock all the shit? Or like, hey, beat this game in 2 hours and we'll give you like, whatever, a rocket launcher. Cool. Or don't do any saves and we'll get you a magnum. Or get all the endings and we'll give you like a chainsaw. Why can't we go back to those days? Not, you can play until you're 50 or give us $50 and you can have all this shit instead.
Here's the thing about this.
It's so frustrating.
I feel like obviously it costs a lot more money to make games than it ever has.
True.
Games have not been more expensive in a long time. I think next gen, we're going to finally see a $10 increase. They need more ways of bringing in revenue. I get it. I'm not stupid. I understand it's a business. I understand it. But I feel like that is getting in the way of creating quality games now. That's what I honestly feel. I feel like games are suffering because they have to put in some monetary carrot at the end of
something. Extra revenue stream in your system. Like
they need,
we're gonna sell you the game plus five other ways for us to make money.
I think the least abrasive and bad or whatever way of doing this for a single player game is what we do get, like with Control, notwithstanding the whole upgrade shit. But
yeah, that's a different story. But if you
pay
like,
for DLC,
you have a Spider-Man, have a season
pay
pass
for DLC.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. There was no bullshit. Whatever. Now in online games of service, is essentially taking the MMO model, mm-hmm. but removing the DLC or the expansion pack model. So what are you, what are you expecting to do? Like, do you want it to be, oh, you're going to pay us $60, which a lot of MMOs are $60, $50. And then you pay $15 a month to play. And then you pay $30 for the expansion when they come out.
You know, it's like here, it's like, you don't have to sell people on Marvel. Like, Marvel is bigger now than it ever was in any point in history. The movies have brought to a place where, like, everyone knows the brand now more than ever. This game was, it had 6 million downloads in the beta time. 6 million. This game is going to make money, undoubtedly. Why bring that down? Why sell you with this nonsense, with this Battle Pass crap? Like, if you make a great game, make unlocks that are easy to get, make me tell my friends, yo, this game is really fun. It's, you know, online. It's Marvel plus Destiny. Selling point.
Right.
Elevator pitch. And it's fun. And it's glitch free. And you're not going to fall through floors.
And, you know, it's got a 20-hour campaign that we could all play together.
Don't
and they're
muddy
add
it
more story
with this
to it. I don't know. Like,
this said that because people are still going to buy this Battle Pass shit. They will.
Yeah, sure.
But how many players will you discourage along the way is my question. And does it even matter? I don't think it does. To them.
No.
To the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you want to continue supporting a game like this, you can't just have the initial sale. I get that. You need some sort of revenue stream so that you can continue to support it.
Yeah, of course.
I guess. And the idea of a Marvel superhero games of service excites me.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been a part of a games. Mm-hmm. I have not been a part of a games of service as service that's not a battle royale that I've actually enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem. I've never been in one of those situations where I'm like, oh, okay, now what?
Yeah,
like that's what happened. I don't know if I said never or that's what I, but that's what I do. Like, I'm in Destiny. I'm like, okay, I beat the story. Now what? I gotta grind the shit. I gotta do what? I have to play this mission how many times to get what? At the chance of getting
get
what?
Those
why?
Light levels.
Now my light level is obsolete, and now I have to do this quest. Like, what? What?
Roll those hours you played. Useless.
It's not for me. I don't know, man. I just don't think I like that.
I think my mind is just too, it's not a, like a boomer thing. I just feel like, I don't know. Make a quality game will sell to the masses.
You put
that
MMOs
out there first.
As a kid too.
Listen, look at Fall Guys. Fall Guys, it's a cheap game. It was on PSN Plus for free. And it has little costume packs for like a few dollars, you know, $5 for a costume pack. See, that I'm cool with. It doesn't alter the gameplay. I get a cool little dragon outfit, whatever the hell. And then give some money to the developer.
A free battle pass.
It's a small team. You don't have Square behind you, you know.
Right.
Making this game.
Right. You know, and then they're gonna have season 2, which I assume is also free.
It is free, yeah.
Yeah. So
season 2 is free.
So they're gonna just update stuff.
Yeah, I played a ton of
MMOs. So, you know, in the chat, Buzz Killington says that MMOs aren't for me, Steve. That's not true because I put in years into City of Heroes and Final Fantasy XI. Those two games specifically, I played a lot of. Dungeons and Dragons Online, I played a lot of too.
Do you foresee this MMOs. Game being a years long commitment? Marvel's Avengers.
Yes. I think it's gonna be. I think that's why they didn't call it Marvel's Avengers colon something.
Something or other, yeah.
It's just Marvel's Avengers, and that's going to be the platform that it lives on for however many years they have the contract for.
Yeah, and this will be like, look at our story add-ons at some point.
They,
you know,
well, yeah, that $10. There's one coming next year. We got the Spider-Man coming
you
next
know
year.
What I'm
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be,
know
a, what I I'm, think they have a 24-month plan, I think. That's what
you
I
know
think.
What I'm getting like a little bit skeeved out about, even just thinking about it? Just like, any sort of promotional discounted Black Panther stuff with what happened recently. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. Please don't milk that. Just don't do that now in any way.
What they'll probably do is they'll like have him in the game And anybody that purchases it, they'll like donate it to some charity or something. Which, whatever, that's fine.
But yeah, I mean, again, I just feel like just make the game good, because the beta, again, it was more mindless fun than fun.
Mm.
And it was generic in a lot of ways, but it's the Marvel brand and the color scheme that's selling you. It's Iron Man, it's Hulk, it's, you know, the Black Widow. But the gameplay is like, you should have focused more on that part of it.
Right.
Make that fun.
Yeah. Like, you, when you played X-Men Legends and like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, you felt like they had a fun gameplay loop. They had a fun gameplay loop, and then they were able to skin superheroes onto it, and then they were able to, you know, craft a story around the four-player co-op mechanic and, like, make sure it works. I hope it succeeds. I really do.
Me too.
I like Square. They need another home run. And I hope this is a good thing. And I hope they figure out most importantly, not how their battle pass stuff is going to work, how they're going to communicate it without coming across as greedy, cash grabbing pricks.
Yeah.
Because when you read between the lines, it's really not that bad. But their PR on it is a shit storm.
Right.
Like, you need to have people dissect this thing and go, oh, no. It's this. Like, even I had to have friend of the show, Aaron Gard, who's in the chat, explain to me. And I'm like, wait, what? What? That doesn't make sense. And then I went back.
If you
I'm
have
like,
to
why?
Break it
why
down call it, that much, there's a communication problem.
Right. Exactly. Speaking of communication problems, this is the part of the show where we are going to kick it to our chat. And we're going to ask you guys for questions, comments, and concerns while I tell you all about, I don't know. Oh, yes. All about our, I'm sorry, I got lost because I was looking at the doc. I was like, that's old.
I was like, yeah, that is old.
For our Facebook question of the week, Andy.
Ooh.
Last week, we had a lot of Batman stuff to talk about.
Ooh, yes.
So it is a Batman themed.
Oh, boy.
Question of the week.
Oh, boy.
With the Batman games being shown off recently, what is your favorite Batman video game of all time? And let's go to our Facebook, which is facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts. Thornstone simply writes, Arkham City.
Great game.
For me, personally, and I wrote in here, it's Asylum. Because before then, I've never truly felt like Batman in any video game. And in that game, I did. Zach, a.k.a. Buzz Killington, says he's going to be different because he knows everyone's going to say they love the Arkham games. But one, one Batman game I really loved and wish they would bring back is Gotham City Impostors. And then we had a nice little conversation because the game is still on.
Mm.
And it is free.
Mm-hmm.
On Steam, I think. I think it was Steam. So you could download it right now. Berker says Batman NES. I'm assuming the original, like, '89 Batman NES.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Marino says, I loved the Batman game for NES back in the day. Had fun cutscenes. Didn't see much of that back then. But yeah, that was then. And then Arkham City / Knight. Getting to play as Tim Drake Robin, which I really look forward to getting Gotham Knights coming up. The Sega Genesis Batman game was also cool. I wonder which one he's talking about.
No love for Lego Batman.
Hold on. We're not done.
Okay.
Anthony Paul says the Adventures of Batman and Robin on the Genesis. That could be the one that other Anthony is talking about. Daniel says Arkham Origins or Arkham Knight. So going with the two latter of the Arkham games.
Mm.
Friend of the show, Matt Murray says Arkham City, no hesitation. Mr. TMNT himself, Joseph Priestley, says Batman Arkham Asylum. And then Lisa, aka Vegas Girl on Fire, says Lego Batman because it's the only one I've played.
I have a surprising pick.
Yes.
It's a very, I'm not sure how well known this Batman game is, but it is based on the Batman animated series that was on Fox. And that is Batman Vengeance on PS2.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
It's a really good game.
I remember that one. Was that in the animated series art style?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was like a 3D take on that art style.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun game.
You know what game I liked but everybody hated was the Batman Begins game. I had that on GameCube.
So that was, as far as a licensed game goes, not terrible. Now, Catwoman that came out not too long after that was a horrible, horrible game.
Let's not talk about that.
But that one was really competent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting into the chat, CTO of the bro says Lego Batman YOLO.
Oh, there it is.
Buzz Killington says there were 15 characters data mined.
Oh, for Marvel?
For Marvel.
Oh, boy.
That's good.
Can't have secrets no more.
Erengard. Let's see. Erengard had a couple of things. Strategy-wise, releasing Horizon at this time might spin a hype to people debating a console purchase and seeing the new Horizon on PS5.
Yes.
If they were on the fence, it might push them over that edge.
We've said this time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
That strategy works. If you're gonna push the sequel, which was announced at the PS5 live stream not too long ago in June, you sell the first game, and it's like, shit, do I wait till this gets a port like 6-10 years from now, or do I buy a PS5 now for the sequel?
Right. And talking about that Marvel stuff, each character has another 1,000 credits. It's at least 1,000 or more, plus around 12,500 credits worth of costumes and more. CTO the Bro has also redeemed shout out. So we want to say a shout out for CTO the Bro. He makes music in GarageBand, and it's actually pretty catchy stuff.
Oh, maybe you do some follow more
on YouTube.
Do some
right
new
now.
Themes for us, dude.
Do it up.
We'll
Farmer Pete mentioned that that the Remnant from the Ashes is not on Epic right now. It is down, and it's Hitman and the Shadowrun collection is live right now on Epic.
Ooh, Shadowrun. Okay,
hell yeah. And when we were talking about Kill It With Fire, Mr. TMNT said, "I would have burned my house down playing that game," and you're absolutely correct. That's exactly what would have happened. And that is going to bring us to the end of the show. It was a good one. Oh, Erengard actually just messaged.
Here we go.
Arkham City, because of how different Catwoman felt in the game compared to Batman, despite them having the exact same controls. That's dope.
Did you ever see those like player swap mods for Batman and Catwoman in Arkham Knight?
No.
They put like awesome? Batman's model on Catwoman's.
And he's all like effeminate and like,
yeah.
Gato-like. That's great. I like that. That's fantastic.
CTO the Bro asks, what was your favorite song?
My favorite one was the robot one. I like that one so far the most. It was the first one I listened to, so it's still stuck in my brain.
Gotta check your stuff out.
It's fun stuff. It's, you know, it like it's simple, tune-y? It's catchy. Yeah, no, it's like synth.
Oh, I'm all about synth. Oh, robot funk.
Yeah, robot funk. There you go. All right, folks, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, we love you and we appreciate you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Folks, if you want to watch us do the show live, please go over there and give us a follow. But if you want to watch us later, you can do so at youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Please subscribe there. Give a thumbs up. Hit the notification bell so you know when our next videos are going live. We're going to get into full swing on more videos. We got to do some unboxing videos. Andy has a bunch of shit that I'm going to supposedly be unboxing. I'm going to be doing more first plays. I keep wanting to do first plays and then get a backlog of games to do first plays with and then never have the time to do first plays. So I have to put some time aside. I want to get those up for you guys. So please, Steven, go over to youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Yes, Andy.
I have an exciting announcement to make.
You're very low.
Oh, I'm speaking very low. That's why.
Okay. You have an exciting announcement to make.
Yes. Okay. This streaming, this Twitch channel may be a little bit more lively soon.
Oh.
When I start to stream because.
Oh my goodness.
Steven, my backdrop came in the other day.
Oh my.
And I haven't told you what it was yet.
Oh.
And you're not going to see it until I unveil it to the people on this fine chat in the next dual screens. Gamescast.
Are you saying that by next Sunday you're gonna have your
set up? More than likely, yes.
Oh my!
Folks. I will have my backdrop set up behind me, so no more this garbage that you see.
Huge
not,
news!
Not my bar cart that's hiding over there, or my Metroid art behind me. It's the funniest thing. I was like, let me see if this exists as a backdrop.
I know what it
is. And the internet provided. Don't guess.
I know what it is.
Don't fucking guess.
It's definitely a play on what I got behind
Don't
me.
Fucking guess.
I know what it is. All right. Folks, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I'm at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group, again, is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. If you want to, we already did the Twitch thing. Andy, I got to move on here. I got to move on. Zazu Pitts of Sabado Productions does our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Matt Murray, logo and overlay. And thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. We love you very much. Again, if you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS podcast. And just $1 gets you into our VIP Discord, a bonus episode every month in which you vote the topic of. Andy, is there anything else you want to tell the kids before we go?
I love doing the show. I love the chat. I love all you people. Seeing you guys commenting in there makes me smile every time, just reading things as we talk and bullshit. Yeah, I love you. I love the show. I love gaming. And that's it. That's all I got to say. And I just subbed to a CT the Bro on YouTube. So
hell yeah.
Look out for that, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, chat. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent to each other.